Matt, are you going to guess at the lyrics for this one? We had a lot of success on Friday with misheard lyrics. And now, maybe we can ask Jason Wilde, but go ahead.
I think the fun of like this kind of music is just knowing that there is no lyric. And it's just making the right sounds.
And I like Pearl Jam.
You don't even have to sing the words.
You don't like Pearl Jam?
I said Pearl Jam.
I would
say that my kids' favorite segment was us going over all the misheard sound lyrics. I like Big Buns and a Can of Limes. Slade at the Rutledge House. Jim Rutledge, Matt Hamilton, Molly Brown with you. Primetime Warshine Behind the Glass. We got Jason Wilde joining the show now. Jason, before we get into all the Jordan Love talk, is there a song lyric that pops in your head that people misquote all the time? We had a big run of that on Friday, and we had a lot of fun with it. Lots of songs thrown out there, but is there a song where you're like, man, people butcher the true lyrics of this all the time? Does one pop into your brain?
Big Old Jed Had a Light On.
What is that?
What song is that?
Big Old Jet Airliner.
Steve
Miller Band.
Good one.
Big Old Jet Had a Light On.
I like it.
That's how it sounds when you listen to it.
So. Very Hold Me Close to Your Tony Danza.
Hey, with a name like
Tiny Hands.
With a name like Jason, I have to ask, in that TLC song,
oh my God.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls? Or did you always hear Jason?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
Jason Waterfalls.
You are the only person that thought that.
I am not the only person that ever thought that. You can Google it. Yeah. It's one of the most popular misquoted lyrics. It'll be like number 20 on that same list you're looking at.
Jason Waterfall.
Like the person's name was Jason Waterfall, and they're going away. I am crazy, I guess. I'm the only one that
Does
ever
nobody
thought that.
Ever listened to the lyrics of the rest of the song with some of these hooks? Because if you listen to the other lyrics in that song, it makes no sense.
Yeah, tell that to the person with the can of limes and their big butts that they like.
That makes more sense than Jason Waterfalls.
No, it doesn't. Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Just listed off things they like.
Honestly, I'm just thrilled Jason's here.
Yes, well, not here.
Well, talking with us.
All right,
I'm not sure I am anymore. I was at the start of this segment, but I'm going to go chase some waterfalls.
That's what I'm saying. Jason
quick question.
You are one of one.
Quick question on the Jordan Love thing. Is this a hold in? Because if he didn't show up, he would have been fined for not being there. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, he's not on his rookie contract anymore. So, yes, he would have been fined, and they could not be rescinded. So it is a hold in.
So
how much is a Jordan Love fine? Just curious. Like, what would that number be?
I think it's $40,000 a day for mispractices, according to the CBA.
Yeah, it's a set number, right? Yeah, because I remember this with other players on different teams that have had this situation, T.J. Watt notably, and obviously he signed. So is the fact that he's there an indication? For me, the only indication is that he doesn't want to get fined and he doesn't hate the team, but I don't think it means the deal is imminent. It doesn't mean anything besides the fact he doesn't want to get fined and he wants to be a good teammate and a good member of the organization.
You pretty much summed it up. He definitely doesn't want to give back money, but he also really, really needs to protect himself. I mean, to me, that's a crucial piece of this, is that you're set to make a $10.5 million base salary. Only half of it is guaranteed. If an overzealous defensive lineman, which there were some in today's practice, by the way. I was talking with Sean Clifford after practice, and he said there were some guys who bull rushed some offensive linemen, which you're not supposed to do when you're not in pads. And so the pocket collapsed. Nothing untoward happened to Sean Clifford or to Michael Pratt, but those are the you never know type of situations. And so, look, I know you were saying this for a while. What was the line Wooly used when I was on hold? Wish casters?
Wish casting.
Yeah, there were a lot of people that just, including my old boy Tausch, who were just convinced that this deal was going to get done in time for the shareholders meeting and to be announced today. And even when Goody and LaFleur acknowledged that he wouldn't be practicing today, Tausch was still holding out hope that it would occur before day's end at the shareholders meeting. And it did not. I know Adam Schefter said on Pat McAfee's show that he expects it to be done by the end of the week, which would obviously be great for both sides. But I have been advocating, and I joked that if Jordan called me and asked me for my advice, which he did not, for the record, I would have said, dude, do not set foot on that practice field as a participant until you have a new deal. It's not worth the risk. We're talking $11 million versus $250 million. I mean, again, for us normal people, ones that don't have those huge endorsement dollars from being Olympic gold medalists, $11 million is a hell of a lot of money. But even to a guy scheduled to make $11 million, $250 million is really a hell of a lot of money. So he is doing the right thing, and I thought it was really interesting. I asked Sean Clifford about it, and we also talked to Christian Watson about it. Christian Watson said, look, we all have his back. He should get every penny he deserves. And what I thought was interesting that Sean Clifford told us was he got to Lambeau this morning at 7. Jordan had tipped him off on Saturday night or Sunday morning that this could happen. So, you know, Sean Clifford arrives at the stadium expecting to be the number one quarterback at practice because he knows his buddy did not get the deal done. And he looks down at the locker a couple stalls down from him, and there's Jordan Love's bag. Jordan Love had beaten him to the stadium on a day that he wasn't even going to practice. So he's in the meetings. He's going to be in walkthroughs. He's around his teammates. He was at practice. So I don't think it's just spin. I think there is very little or no acrimony at this point, and that they are both sides are confident that they'll eventually get to that place. But, again, I've never negotiated a contract. Like, I'm curious how much give each side will do to get to this point where it'll be done by the end of the week, because right now, it is not done, most definitely.
And what do you think, I mean, and I don't know what kind of insight you have, I mean, what is the hang-up here? Is it, I mean, they obviously are close enough where the Packers know they want to pay him, they know he's the guy they feel comfortable paying, but I think they, too, are saying, well, Jordan, you have played 8 great games, and Jordan, I think, is saying, I'm a 4-year veteran. And I don't know where the disconnect is, but where do you have a guess as to where the sticking point is?
Yeah, so I asked Goody kind of that. He had made it clear he wasn't going to discuss the specifics of the negotiations, but the question that I asked him, I was just curious from the perspective of, you know, you guys believe in him, you saw what he did in the second half of last season, but it's not like he's got, you know, 4 years of playing at that level. And is that a factor? And Goody's response was that they know he's their franchise quarterback. It's not like they're trying to make that decision. But at the same time, we want to put the best team around him we can, and we want to make sure that there's certainty, the structure of it, so that we can do what we need to do for our football team moving forward, not only this year but in years to come. So that, to me, you know, it's a two-pronged holdup on the Packers side. One, they don't want to pay him any more than they have to, just in case, especially in guaranteed money, just in case the second half of last season was an aberration. They don't think it was an aberration. I don't think it was an aberration. Certainly Jordan's people don't think it was. At the same time, I'm guessing when the Eagles and Jalen Hurts reached a contract extension, they weren't anticipating for him to play like he did during the second half of last season. Fair? So I think that it's two things. It's one, wanting to protect themselves if there is a market correction or a downturn for him. And secondly, as I've been telling you guys for seemingly months now, every million that they can save, that's a million they can put toward an extension for Reed or Wicks or whoever it might be that they need to get the next deal done with.
We're talking with Jason Wilde of Wilde and Tausch. You can hear him weekdays 9 to noon. Jason, I thought I was going to see you at the Trio today. I did. I saw you walking to practice. That was fun. But I thought you might hop on and join me here for your segment on our show. But
What is that?
No. I was excited. I was hoping you were going to be here because I figured you were at the shareholders meeting. We're right across the street.
You were guilting me.
Good job, Molly. Okay,
good job, Molly.
Guilting just a tinge. But I do have a question
all right,
for you.
So, no, you can't. No, you can't ask. You can't okay. ask it now. Now after you guilted me.
Well, I'm going to anyways. That's the good reporter. I learned that from you.
So, yeah, there you go. I've taught you well. Optimus League Cardinals have their final two softball games tonight and Wednesday night. And I wanted to make sure I got home, talked to you guys. I even came on this show a day early, and I get guilted for not doing it in person. This is what you guys run around here. Great addition to the show, this Molly character. Yeah. But I wanted to, these are the last two games I'll get to coach Sid's team. She's going to age out of this league, and I don't know if she'll continue playing softball. So I figured I was not going to be lying on my deathbed someday going, gosh, I wish I would have gone to the shareholders meeting. I wish I would have done that segment with Molly in person. Yeah. So that's why I'm getting ready to go to the softball diamond. Molly, your question, please.
Well, I will say that is a good excuse, so I appreciate the answer. But my question is, when do you think, like, the team is going to get annoyed? Because I know you're saying all these guys around him are saying, yeah, like, it's great. You should be getting your money. It's totally fine. We understand. But, like, at what point are they like, okay, this needs to be done so then we can practice with our QB1 and we need to move on? And then at what point do fans kind of have the right to get annoyed? Because I'm sure that there's fans right now that are like, how come the deal's not done? But it is still so, quote-unquote, early. But, I mean, I'm more curious in the teammate aspect of it, but also the fan side, too, because I think they have a right to be upset at eventually, too.
Yeah, I think this becomes an issue if they have to go sign a third quarterback because they don't have enough quarterbacks to get through practice. They were fine today. They'll be fine tomorrow and Wednesday. They have Thursday off, the mandatory day off after three of these ramping up practices, and I believe Friday is the first practice in pads. Whether or not they can get a deal done by then is unclear. If they don't and they have to go add a quarterback to get them through, and then we start to get closer to family night, and if for some reason Jordan Love isn't out there for family night. I mean, look, this is I know I've said this to you guys a bunch, but, like, this is kind of how my job works. Like, I have to make sure that I'm not just wish casting and just dismissing out of hand other outcome possibilities. And in this case, the truth of the matter is this was always a possibility. And you know, I remember very vividly the first day of the OTAs that we got to watch, and I think it was Domofsky who asked, you know, are you comfortable playing this season on your existing contract if it comes to that? And the answer that Jordan Love gave was, we'll see. And I thought, okay, that is a statement that he is making. And so, you know, when is it okay for you as a fan or for Goody as the GM to start to get irritated? I guess I would say family night. If we get to family night on whatever that is, August
3rd? Is that correct?
3rd. Yes, I think so. If we get to August 3rd and he's still not signed, and it's Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt, and Jacob Fromm, or that Eason character that they had in the offseason program, then there's reason to say, okay, maybe we should start worrying and getting a little irritated.
Jason, last thing I have for you so you can get to something far more important than this. I just have one question, which is, where do you think public opinion is now? Does it change at all as far as who the bad guy or how Jordan Love will be looked at? Right now we ask the question, who's making a bigger mistake by not having the contract extension done yet? So basically, who should give, Jordan Love or the Packers? Right now, 78% of people say the Packers. Is Jordan Love going to remain the golden child if this drags for a certain point?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I'm not in any position to tell fans how to think or feel or when it's okay to be mad at him. I would push very hard to tell fans, look, this ain't Brett Favre in 2008. This ain't Aaron Rodgers in 2021. This is very different than that. But again, like I said, it's my job to at least acknowledge the possibilities, however unpleasant they may be. And if he's hell-bent on getting $56 million a year and $200 million of his contract guaranteed, and the Packers are like, hell no, then it's going to take longer. Now, again, I am counting on Adam Schefter, whose calls, I'm sure, or texts, David Mulugeta returns as opposed to mine. I'm counting on him to have gotten a vibe from the agent that, hey, it's not that far off. We'll get there. It'll be another few days, but that's it. But if for some reason, you know, let's just hypothetically, and I haven't talked to anybody in South Florida, any of my friends that cover the Dolphins, but let's just say hypothetically that the Dolphins have some sort of come-to-Jesus moment on Tua, because it sure seems from the outside looking in that they, like, don't really want to pay him, and kind of like Daniel Jones, they feel like they have to pay him. If they suddenly have a come-to-Jesus moment, they say, all right, he's our guy. We're going to give him $230 million, and $200 million of it is guaranteed, and that's less than what Love was asking for. Well, now Love's going to ask for more, and maybe it is going to take longer. So, again, the sooner the better for certainly the Packers, and if Jordan Love has a number in mind and his agents have a number in mind, if they can get to that soon, they'll obviously be better off.
Jason, awesome stuff as always. We appreciate it.
All right, everybody, except for you, Molly.
I was going to say, I hope softball goes great.
Thank you. Thank you, Molly. Thank you. All right, guys. Thanks, take care. Jason. Be good.
All right, that's Jason Wilde. You can miss any today's show. Listen back, Wisconsin, the Man, Apple, Spotify, and those great places. Brought to you by our good friends at Revive Restoration. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.